conditions, although there's fog. ESPN 93.5, sunny 95.3.
Mondays and Fridays, his brother Johnny, he's in studio today. Johnny, how are you?
Steve, couldn't be better, and what a nice day we've got going here in Champaign, Urbana.
Mike Ditka from Chicago. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys.
Great to have you back on the show. What are my farmer friends going to do if they can't ever plant the corn and the soybeans?
They'll get it in there, but yeah, it's wet and they can't get out. They get stuck. They're waiting. They're waiting for a little bit of respite. It's not raining as hard. It'll dry out, but boy, yeah, it's getting into May now.
I tell you what, Mike, these guys are great guys, and I get pretty antsy about this time of year if they haven't got their beans and soybeans, corn in them.
It's amazing. Well, but we've had a lot of rain in Chicago, and it's really pretty dry. The ground's pretty dry on the golf course. I mean, it's very dry. So I don't know. Lowlands or where the water sits a little bit, it's a little worse, but it's not too wet up here.
I hear Johnny asking, you're playing Murfield?
Well, one in Columbus, is that Murfield? I don't know, what is that one?
Is that
one in Columbus, Ohio?
Okay.
There's a couple of them. I don't know which.
Well,
which
it doesn't
anymore.
Matter. When you hit the ball like you, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. Listen, I can't play anymore, I'm telling you. I struggle when I hit the ball. I know maybe the ground was a little soft, but boy, I tell you what, I'm looking where my drives go and where the guys I'm playing with go, and I'm just saying, wow, this is embarrassing.
Down in New Orleans, Billy Horschel hits a 27-foot putt. This morning, Mike, I woke up, I said, I don't know if Tiger will get his 18 majors. There's so many great players.
It really is. And these young kids really, really, you watch their swings. Watch their confidence when they strike the ball. I mean, and if they hit it like 10 feet from where they want to, they're disappointed. I mean, I'd like to hit mine. You know, if I could hit within a half a mile where I'm trying to hit it, I'd be happy.
Well, there's just a lot. It's a higher risk game now, and people are going for it. Tiger changed that game, and now he's got to do. He's created a monster, and I don't know if you're right, Steve. It's going to be very difficult to run a string against the field now.
It used to be you take Tiger of the field, you say, well, Tiger Woods is the favorite guy, but the field is now 100 guys. They're really, really, really good.
At least, that's right. That's a good point. At least 50 guys.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, when Rory McIlroy, I think it was the U.S. Open there, said he may not lose again. I don't know if he's won again.
No. Listen, you tell me how Rory McIlroy walks off in Florida when he's going to shoot an 85. How does a guy like that ever shoot an 85? It's just, it's gone.
Right now, his confidence is it's shot pretty good.
It's unbelievable. It's great to watch, but it's unbelievable. And here in Champaign-Urbana, we're celebrating, giving high fives to our golf program at the U of I, Mike. They just won their fifth straight Big Ten Conference Championship. And I tell you what, it can be tiddlywinks. It's hard to win five straight anything. It's just amazing.
And Stevie and I have had the pleasure of playing with Mike Small, the coach.
Yeah.
He's a great golfer himself. He can play out there, but I'll tell you, five Big Ten champions in a row in anything.
It's awesome.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Truly amazing.
All right, we go to Washington, D.C. It was the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday night.
Look in the mirror, and I have to admit, I'm not the strapping young Muslim socialist that I used to be.
Speaker Boehner and President Obama are still struggling to get along. President Obama and John Boehner are kind of like a blind date between Anderson Cooper and Rachel Maddow. In theory, they understand each other's positions, but deep down, you know nothing's ever going to happen.
I was just talking to Ed, and I understand that when the Correspondents Association was considering Conan for this gig, they were faced with that age-old adult dilemma. Do you offer it to him now or wait for 5 years and then give it to Jimmy Fallon?
I was last here 18 years ago, back in 1995. A lot's changed since then. Today you can get real-time information on world events from something small enough to fit in the palm of your hand. Back in 95, we called that George Stephanopoulos.
I know CNN has taken some knocks lately, but the fact is I admire their commitment to cover all sides of a story, just in case one of them happens to be accurate.
I thought it was a good show. I really did. It was, you know, they said I was at the, Barack Obama said I was at the George Bush Library, the opening. We decided on our own legacy, and they showed a slide, and it had another building next to George Bush's and had a big old billboard and pointed and said Bush's fault. So, I mean, he went right after what everybody's been saying. And, Mike, I think it's a healthy thing to laugh occasionally in Washington.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, I guess it's better to laugh than be laughed at, because they've been laughed at a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and it's good to have humor, because humor is kind of the big equalizer. If you can laugh at yourself. And you know, some of it's not very funny in the end, but hopefully it just gives us a better environment where we
can... Some of it's like, I just had a heart attack. You know, it's not as funny as you think, you know. I mean, I can understand, you know, you can... The levity that want to create a little levity in a show like that or a function like that, but you know, facts are facts.
Well, it's a dysfunctional body. I don't think anybody doubt that. It isn't working out very well right now. There's no doubt about it. And frankly, I don't know. I mean, you take things like John McCain talking Syria here.
They say the president said that this was a red light. The use of chemical weapons. That gave Bashar Assad a green light to massacre, to rape, to torture, to commit fire Scud missiles on his own people in populated areas.
I think it's very important for us to continue to talk to Russia, because I think Russia could really make a difference in helping to resolve this serious, terrible situation where people are being killed every day. We feel that there has been some chemical weapons that have been used, but we're still investigating who did it, where it's coming from, and right now we're just in an evaluation stage.
All right, so you go from that, correspondence dinner, to that, and Johnny, I don't know what you do about Syria. I mean, you be the president.
Well, Mike said it the other day, it's a world community problem.
Yeah,
we can't.
You know, this, they're dreaming. I mean, they're talking to Russia. Russia really doesn't have a whole lot of care about what's going on in Syria. Believe me, they don't care if they blow each other up. I mean, Russia's got its own worries, you know, with China and everything else. So I wouldn't say you talk to Russia about anything.
And where the U.S. has always been leading the world in terms of caring about injustices like that, and I think the world's a lot better place for it. But
we're at the
point where we just can't do everything, and we just can't do it by ourselves. And we understand too that the downside with everybody jumping on us and who really did it, Mike, we're not sure what's going on, and so it's either a UN type approach to this kind of thing, or I don't know what you.
Well,
can do.
And then they say, well, how can you allow all these people to be massacred? 70,000 dead in Syria, and you watch this whole. I mean, what do you do?
Well, don't forget about the Middle Eastern neighbors who are all allowing it to happen too. What about all of that?
Well, we're the leaders. We're supposed.
Well,
to...
we're not. We cannot take care of everybody's business, and the problem is that we're not really allowing it to happen. It's happening, and. And what can we do to stop it, Mike? We could go in and make it worse. We've done that before.
Oh, yeah. Nobody has an answer for this, John. But these people are hell-bent on eliminating each other over there. I mean, they have no respect for it. Human life has no dignity, no respect for it. So, you know, to lose a life, they could lose 50,000 lives, and it wouldn't bother anybody over there.
Well, and you look at Egypt, Steve, with the Mubarak, the dictator, the brutal dictator.
Right.
And I'm telling you, they may be worse off now. He's out, and we're not sure what's going to happen in Egypt. So
absolutely.
It's kind of you're caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. But if you had a world organization, and that's, talk about dysfunctional.
Yeah,
they're going to sit and argue about it until from now on.
Well, and the UN, the guy that tagged as a UN guy blamed America for the bombing in Boston.
Yeah, well, or else we're probably to blame for this too. So,
well, yeah,
but that it's a tough, complicated world. But we just can't go running in and out. We'd love to save innocent people. If we could find out who they are and figure out how to do it.
Has the world necessarily changed, or has the communications and the immediacy changed? Have we always had these issues? We just didn't know about them?
I think everybody knows what's going on in the world much more than they did, you know, say 60, 70, 80 years ago. I mean, you know, there was World War One. You had a national news service, or World War Two rather, and you know, nobody really understood what countries like Syria and those countries were doing back then. Didn't matter. The main players were, you know, France, Great Britain, the United States, Russia. You know, and nobody cared about anything else almost.
We have had atrocities all over the globe, and a lot of them we didn't know anything about. You're right. It's a different world from that standpoint. But there's always some bad guys out there. Unfortunately, that's still the same.
And certainly Vietnam with watching on color TV changed the dynamic of war.
Oh, yeah. And sure, no question about it.
We were able to see the protests. The dissemination of information and the immediacy of all of it, and then the inaccuracies that get spread like wildfire, that dynamic because the hearts of men hasn't changed probably ever. It's just the communication of who's doing what and then deciphering which is true has just changed dramatically.
Well, and that's a Vietnam, and you know, and you can go, you can talk for decades about that, but we were trying to protect South Vietnam, maintain their freedom, stop the spread of something bad, because we kind of let it get almost get away from us with the Nazis.
Yeah.
So we go over there, and unfortunately, the one reason the North did so well is because they came across all the weapons we were trying to give to the South. That was one problem. Then we got in a big fight between ourselves over here over it, and as a result, we couldn't help them, and they just overran.
Kind of a one foot in, one foot out.
Yeah, and it didn't work out. So that we were trying to help there, and of course, we still haven't. Still the ramifications of that are still seen today. So
it's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. You're on ESPN 93.5, the new Sunday 95.3. Back with our final segment next after our sponsors, Flooring Services, Lance Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, and Max Twin City Recycling. It's ESPN 93.5, the new Sunday 95.3. Brother Johnny and Coach Ditka. The Jets just released Tim Tebow, Mike.
Yeah, I've been watching. I've been watching a little bit on Mike and Mike. Well, you know what? Guys, you know, I'm probably in the minority. I really like Tim Tebow a lot. I really do. I like him as a man, as a person, as a Christian. And most of all, I like him as a football player, too. So I think there's value there, but it's the best thing in the world to get away from the Jets. They got some real problems right now.
I was going to just say, thank God he got out of New York, because there wasn't anything there for him.
Yeah, I think it's probably the best thing for him, and if there is another team in pro football takes a chance on him, they're going to get a good individual, good kid. He'll be able to he'll help him as much as he can. How much that is, I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of quarterbacks that are starting for teams that I would say, really? I mean, I don't know. There's just very few Peyton Mannings out there and Drew Breeses. They're just not.
Well, yeah, I know, and you know, the Jets sign a David Garrard. Come on. Hello. Yeah, come on.
Right.
Time out.
How good is he?
I mean, that's exactly right. And you take a great kid. He won the Heisman Trophy, I believe. That means he played pretty good in college. Now, whether you like it or not, you drafted on him how he played in college. Now, if he had that chance to play in pro football that way, he'd probably play darn near the same way. But that's just my opinion.
I'll tell you, though, too, a guy like Tim Tebow on your team, if he's a second stringer, can be as valuable as some of your best players just because he's such a strong, positive force on the team.
Absolutely, John. Leadership is, you can't buy that either. You know, that's got to be, you got to develop that over time. And he certainly is the leader.
All right, here's one guy people watch during the NFL draft.
After he was runner-up for the Heisman Trophy, Notre Dame's Matt Ateo had a poor performance in a national championship loss to Alabama. Oh, yes, there was that fake girlfriend drama. Teo was not chosen in the first round of the NFL draft. Instead,
with the 38th selection in the 2013 NFL draft, the San Diego Chargers proudly select Manti Te'o, linebacker, Notre Dame.
Ex-Charger Jim Hill on ESPN. The rookie salary cap says instead of a $7 million signing bonus and maybe $3 million a year, Te'o may be looking at $2 million up front and something over $1 million a year. In New York, Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
Well, was the whole girlfriend Manti Te'o, Mike, enough to keep teams away from him because that was the weirdest thing ever?
I think the greatest thing that happened to the San Diego Chargers is everybody stayed away from the kid and they drafted him. let's see what happens, okay? I mean, you know, the thing with the girlfriend, that was goofy, yes, but this kid can play football. Yeah, he played bad against Alabama. I guess he's the only one in the country that played bad against Alabama.
Yeah, right.
Come on. And then you run a 4.85 or something. And, how fast are you supposed to run? You're a middle linebacker. I mean, 4.85, 4.6. I just said the difference. 4.65, 4.85. That's the difference right there. 6'8". Hello.
Well, I'll tell
you. You tell me what's the difference. You know, these people, and actually after a while, it makes me laugh. I laugh about it. People talk about why they pick all these linemen in the first round. Because they're safe picks. Yeah. You're not going to get criticized if they don't pan out.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, though, Manti Te'o, you're right about one thing. A lot of people had trouble tackling Lacy with Alabama because he just ran over everybody. But he didn't play well. Of course, Notre Dame was a little overmatched with Alabama, and they were playing a good game.
Alabama
too.
Had nine guys go to the draft.
Yeah.
Well, nine. According to Barack Obama, the Illini ought to get three of those if you're going to spread the wealth. Come on.
I agree with you. But what Alabama does, besides being tremendously coached, they get great kids coming out of high school, and they develop them tremendously. They come out. These kids are really good if they get down there, and the coaching has a lot to do with that Saban.
It's also the South has a very strong emphasis on football. A lot of those guys come from that region. Mm-hmm. They call them from all over, but they get a lot of people from Louisiana, Florida, and Alabama.
But here you got Nick Saban, who's got this unbelievable program. If he lost four times, he'd be in trouble. I mean, if he went 7-4, Mike, they'd want him fired.
Well, I don't know about that, but you've spoiled the people down there, that's for sure. You've spoiled the Alabama fans right now.
Oh, man, it's crazy. Finally, the new direction for the Big Ten. Did you hear about, Rutgers and Maryland are coming in. Did you see how they divided the East from the West? Thank you so much.
What do we got, Steve?
Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern, Purdue, Wisconsin. They put Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan in the same conference.
Well, I think that's an excellent split.
Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Maryland.
Exactly.
Well, I'm sorry, Maryland and Rutgers don't belong in a Big Ten.
Yeah.
They're in that other division then, the East, I guess.
It's East West.
Wow.
Well, that's a good break. Would you ever have imagined?
That's fair.
You put Michigan and Ohio State the same one, though? I mean, that's you won't ever have the Big Ten title between Michigan and Ohio State.
Well, right now, I'd be for something like a South Central Illinois division because we could use a division of our own right now. But look, Steve, we're working on it. We're coming back.
Oh, mama. Well, anyway, it's always a pleasure, Mike. Listen, it's great catching up with you and Johnny. People will look for the wisdom. Because all those problems out there in the world, we try and solve at least a few of them anyway.
Well, I don't know about the wisdom, but I sure have fun talking to you guys.
Always a pleasure, Mike. Thanks so much. Appreciate you guys.
Take care.
All right, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny here, Mondays and Fridays here on the radio. And brought to you by our sponsors, Flooring Services, Lands Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, and by Max Twin City Recycling. Appreciate our sponsors to the segment. Always a pleasure. All right, your Wall Street Journal coming up next. It's ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3.
Hope is found wherever you see the Children's Miracle.